On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey, but they were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of these things that have taken place there over the last few days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. And all these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and did not find his body. They came to us saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said, but they didn't see him. So Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory?' Then Jesus interpreted for them the things written down about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all of the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead, but they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?' So they got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying to each other, 'The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon.' Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road, and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
It's always easier to hold it because I'm so short, so I'll be leaning over it. Good morning, O folk. Will you please pray with me? Amado Dios, our beloved Lord, quiet our hearts and focus our minds. Speak to us through your word and give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. Thank you for your presence among us. En el nombre de tu hijo amado Jesús. Amen. So as you, many of you know by now, my name is Crystal Campo. I'm the pastoral intern here. It's been quite a journey. It's bittersweet. I've talked to a lot of you, and I've gotten to know a lot of you, and I thank you for allowing me into your space, into your lives, through our random conversations at potluck or in the hall. Thank you for your hospitality. We encounter so many paths in life, metaphorically speaking, which lead us to many different places. For instance, 4 years ago, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about this, I started at Divinity School, and I remember sitting in the classroom thinking, what have I done? I quit my full-time job. I remember also thinking, will I make it through? And Pastor Tove can relate, because we would sit in the back of the class in the last row, an Old Testament, a New Testament, and church history. And we would talk about the things that God is there and what were we going to do. But seeing him gave me hope because he graduated last year. So I'm like, if Tove can do it, I can do it. And we talked about this a lot and we shared a lot of good moments. And I'm so blessed to have shared this journey with you, Tove. Somehow I did manage to make it. As you see, I'll be graduating in 3 weeks. Thank you. Far away, so close. There's still assignments, and I'm trying to get senioritis not to hit me. And I'm on my last stretch of that walk, of that path. Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and this season focuses on the stories of the resurrected Christ. He appeared to his disciples, and as last Sunday we saw, the story of Thomas, Didymus, the twin. Thomas, I believe, was brave enough to speak about his doubts and even set his own expectations, which I didn't realize until I heard Pastor Chris talking about it. By this I mean, he said, "Unless I see the nails marks in his hands, I will not believe." So we see him as doubting, but I also have to appreciate his candid honesty because it's hard to speak out our doubts. And I see that more with my young adults in campus ministry. That takes courage. The sermon today was supposed to be titled "Missing God in Plain Sight, The Road to Faith," but I only sent Pastor half of the title. So the main part, "The Road to Faith," and I apologize for this. So these two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, walking away from Jerusalem. They were confused. They were grieving. They were uncertain. They had hope that Jesus was the one, the Messiah. But now, all their expectations were shattered. They're walking along the road, talking with each other, discussing these things that they thought would have happened. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Friends, does this sound familiar? The disciples were leaving Jerusalem, the very place they hoped for the Messiah to come and all these things to be fulfilled. And that very place they were leaving behind. They were on their way on the road to Emmaus. I like to believe that their faith wasn't gone, but I do see that it was wounded. They believed, but their expectations did not match the reality before them. They trusted, but they did not understand God or his timing. And that sounds very familiar, especially like I said when I started this road to school. But you know, I found out that faith often begins or it's reshaped in disappointment. There are seasons when God doesn't meet our expectations and we're left asking questions. And seldom we have more questions than we have answers. Some walk away spiritually, not because they never believed, but maybe because they believed so deeply that they were hurt deeply. Yet even Christ draws near to us. Verse 15, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now that verse alone leaves me with more questions than answers. But they were kept from recognizing him. Why? Who was keeping them from recognizing him? Did their assumptions limit their understanding? Was grief clouding their vision? This could be a sermon in and of itself. We can have a whole discussion on this, but we don't have time. What I do see here, though, is that faith includes those moments in our lives, on the roads we travel, when God is present, but we don't perceive him. We don't see him. And literally, the disciples have Jesus walking with them, literally, and they don't see him. Disappointment can distort our vision so much that we walk away from the very place God is still working in us, or when we are just to see that answered prayer. Just hold on a little longer. A prayer that might be answered, in fact, way better than you expected or had envisioned. There are times when we pray and we hear crickets. There are times when we walk and even if we are in a room full of people, we feel alone. But Christ is closer than you realize. There are seasons when God is present, although he's hidden. And just because we don't recognize him doesn't mean he's not walking with us or working in us. Because faith is not always about seeing. Sometimes it's just about trusting deeply. I've shared a little bit about my ministry with campus, ministry with you, with the young adults. And obviously, as if I didn't have enough going on, I took on the role of campus minister. And it has been quite the road. I've shared a little bit about that journey with you previously. So we gather every Wednesday now. We have dinner and, as I call them, faith conversations, aka Bible studies. But young adults are drawn more to faith conversations, faithful faith conversations. So fortunately now we have 4 to 6 steady that come. And a lot of them, well, I would say most of them are not from div school, just 1 or 2. So when I'm crafting our faith conversations, it's very, very challenging to craft the devotional around people that have no faith or have experienced little faith, and with those that are a little further on their road and with the ones that are in divinity school. It is challenging. So back to the road to Emmaus. When Jesus joins them, he listens first and then asks questions. Jesus, even in the subtle things he does, he's always teaching us something. He listens first and then asks questions. I have a hard time listening because I talk a lot. I'm working on that. My husband clearly knows that. But I am trying to listen first and listen just to be of presence. Not to answer and not to figure out the world and not to give you responses or, you know, whatever you need, but just to listen. It is hard. And of course, God's presence is not depending on our awareness, which I'm happy about. The disciples, when he asked them, "What are you discussing along the road?" Of course, the disciples have a detailed account of what had happened, because we like to know what's going on. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Now, Jesus' response here leaves me baffled again. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Again, there's so much going on here right now. For one, I like to think Jesus' response here is less of an insult and more of a sharp wake-up call. I like to believe that Jesus isn't calling the disciples unintelligent. I like to believe that he's just pointing out a mismatch between what they had already had, which was the Hebrew scriptures, and what they expected the Messiah to be. And still, Jesus doesn't reveal himself at that moment. He opens scripture. He teaches instead. He reframes their understanding of scripture. So this morning, brace yourselves, because beginning with Moses and all the prophets, I will explain what was said in all scriptures concerning Jesus. I'm glad you're laughing, because we're not doing that. But I'm glad to see how Jesus' character, his patience, his understanding, his willingness to talk through all those things is there, his humility. At first I asked myself, I wonder why Jesus decided to open up the scriptures and talk to them about everything. And obviously, what I could think of and I kept coming back to, and this is not exclusive, I realized that understanding scripture transforms how we interpret our circumstances. It helps us to see God for who he is in his many facets for ourselves. We often want quick answers and visible miracles, but Jesus gives deeper understanding first. Because faith grows, understanding God's word. So many verses in the Bible allude to that. Romans 10:17 states, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So before Jesus opens their eyes, he opens up the word. In every stage of life, friends, scripture grounds us. When emotions fluctuate, that truth in scripture can stabilize us. Faith matures not just through experience, but through revelation. And there is an invitation here that leads to that revelation. Stay with us, the disciples ask, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went and he stayed with them. How many times have we invited Jesus to stay with us, to dwell with us? Have we even invited Jesus? We experience Christ most deeply when we invite him in, not just to observe, but to actually walk with him. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. Again, a lot going on here. Recognition happens in relationships and hospitality. The breaking of the bread, echoing the Last Supper. All of these things, friends, I keep believing nothing's coincidental. No matter how much I've tried to tell myself, there's coincidences in my life and things happen randomly, I see that there's no coincidences. At the table, the breaking of the bread, their eyes opened. Were not our hearts burning within us? They realize recognition comes in a moment, but we have to remember preparation took time. He walked with them. He explained the scriptures, and the scriptures are a lot. So all this took time. Their hearts were being stirred before their eyes were open. And Jesus is often most clearly seen in shared moments of fellowship and surrender, sitting with someone, listening to their story. The ministry of presence, friends, is so powerful. In accompaniment, people can experience the love of Christ through you. The Latin origin for the word accompaniment is cum pane, which literally means with bread. It is the same thing in Spanish. Con pan means with bread. I didn't realize this until studying this now. I know what it means in Spanish, but I did not see accompaniment with bread because it is in those moments when you share bread with people that you get to know them. This word also implies a sharing of resources, of time, pointing out to mutuality, most importantly, friendships. It means to journey with the people or join companions on their way, like God did with the Israelites in the desert, or Jesus Christ right now with his frightened disciples on the road to Emmaus. When we share our table, our bread, and I hope I'm not reaching like the youth might say, or maybe that word is old, and I'm just behind. I hope I'm not reaching. But there's a certain level of intimacy and proximity when you eat with someone. You try to remember table manners if it's your first time eating with them. But sometimes the food is so good that we forget and we use our fingers, we smack our mouth. Or like when you're going to go on a date, you try to be prim and proper. And you try to use the knife and the fork correctly and all the things. But to be fully comfortable with someone while eating, there's a certain level of trust that you have to have to be your full self, to bring yourself the way you are. And in my culture, this is very important because we, with tortillas, we don't have forks. Well, we have forks, but our tortilla is our fork. So there has to be that level of trust for me to eat with my fingers in front of you. I think Oak does this very well. You have potluck every week. So there's a certain proximity and fellowship that comes with that. Getting to eat with you and talk to you after the service, after worship gathering, it's special. It's different. And back to campus ministry. We have dinner every Wednesday along with our faith conversations, aka Bible studies. But maybe this is why the students keep coming back And good food is good. I'm okay with that. I would hope that they're getting more than that. But I have realized that by sharing a meal, we feel at ease and open to sharing not just bits and pieces of bread, but bits and pieces of our lives. The Holy Spirit can change your lives through testimonies. All of us are a story. All of us have beautiful stories. When you share your story, you can do so much good. When you share the good in your life, you can give someone hope. When you are honest and raw like Thomas, you could inspire other people to be honest and raw and set boundaries. You might be part of that aha moment for someone in their spiritual and faith journey. Because faith often awakens internally before it becomes visibly externally. Sometimes you don't see it, but you feel God stirring in your heart. It might be through conviction, it might be through hope or clarity. Whatever it is, don't ignore it. It might be the beginning of that recognition in a beautiful story about to unravel. The same road that the disciples walked in despair, now they run with purpose. Their direction changed. Their message changed. Their energy shifted. Because real faith leads to action. Every encounter with Christ calls for movement, whether it's returning, reconciling, serving, proclaiming. Faith is not meant to stay on the road. It's meant to go back into the world. To give back is essential in living in the gospel. The book of James tells us this, that faith without works is dead. To serve and not to be served. I tell my children all the time, do everything like you're doing it for Jesus. Homework, hobbies, cleaning, picking up trash, from the least of things to the greater. Do everything like you're doing it for Jesus. And that will change your perspective, even when you approach boring tasks, or according to them, the unmerited chores. And I pray that I lead by example, not just word of mouth. Jesus meets us in confusion and doubt. He teaches us through his word and reveals himself in relationship. And in the breaking of bread, he sends us back with a renewed purpose. And friends, let's not forget, in this journey called life, sometimes it might feel like we're walking in fog or through fog. When you're in fog, you can't see far. You can't see in a distance. But you're still moving. The disciples couldn't see clearly, but Jesus was guiding every step. And when the fog lifted, they realized he had been there all along. Where are you on the road today? Walking away in disappointment? Struggling to recognize God's presence? Learning and growing? Feeling your heart stirred again? Ready to respond and go? Wherever you are on your journey of faith, or whatever road you're traveling, trust that God is with you. And even when you feel lonely and you cannot see him, God is there. As I wrap up my walk with you all physically, I take with me all our conversations, our shared goals to love our neighbors, to serve, to bring to earth that kingdom of Christ, and remembering that we are one body of Christ. And we will always be connected because of that. Thank you all, and thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Cristo resucitado, our risen Christ, walk with us on every road, in our questions, in our weariness, in our hope. When we cannot see you, stir our hearts to trust you. When we feel lost, lead us back to your truth through your word. Open our eyes in your perfect time and set our hearts on fire with steady faith. And then send us to rise, to go, to share the good news. For we are never alone. You are alive and you are with us. Amen.